an attempt to tell you a little bit about my trip last week. Generally, when we go on a trip, we take the same flight, the 710, from Tulsa to Vegas. But she put her foot down and said, no more Vegas, we're going east this time. I said, okay, whatever you want. So we've never been to Florida, had the free miles, so we thought we'd take a little trip to Florida. Now, because we fly Southwest to get the, well, it's free. I mean, I could pay, fly any damn where I wanted to, but Southwest flies to four or five cities in Florida. I know Florida's kind of a big state, and we wanted to do the South half, but I didn't want to land in the South. So I called Southwest and told them, I don't care, I'm easy. We'll land anywhere south of Jacksonville. She said, how about Orlando? I said, fine, that'll work. Because I knew Orlando's, oh, 2-3 hours from Palm Beach, and that's 2-3 hours from Miami, and that's 3-4 hours from Key West, so we'd just have little hopping points. Besides Vegas, I believe the only places you can get to from Tulsa are Kansas City, St. Louis, and Dallas. If you go anywhere, you have to fly to one of those three cities first. And Tommy could explain, but he explained to me how one of Southwest's major hubs is Dallas, and because some crooked politician got in there, they wrote the laws that for them to get the Love Field exclusivity, they made them write a law that they could only hop to the next state from Texas. So like when Tommy's in L.A., he's from Texas, Dallas. When he's there and he wants to go home, he can't fly Dallas to L.A. direct. He's got to fly L.A. to somewhere and then somewhere to Dallas because they made this rule, the crooked politicians, and if they knew who they were, I'd say their names even if they were Democrats. But they set up this rule, this backhanded deal to screw somebody. Don't know the details, but anyway. They set it up to where Southwest has this funny schedule. It's the only way they could get an airport, so I don't blame Southwest. To get to Florida, we had to fly to Kansas City. Kansas City Airport is a nightmare. Oh, it is such a nightmare. Unless we're going to Kansas City, we'll never fly to Kansas City again. It is so dumb. As you come off the plane, you're in the general population, not the screened population. So immediately, you know you're in for hell. Well, we got off, and the idiots, instead of having a sign, gotta blame Southwest for this, instead of them having a sign saying, welcome to Kansas City, if you're transferring flights, go left, talk to the attendant. No, they don't do that. They have a dude standing there, and every time, you know how people get off a plane in clumps, 3-4, 3-4, 1-2, 3-4, they come off in clumps. So every time a clump of people comes off the plane, this Southwest dude starts screaming, if you're connected with a flight, go over here to your left and get a voucher or whatever. And if you're not, you just walk out to the parking lot. And I thought, well, that's awful stupid. Why the hell don't they fix that? Another thing I don't understand about airports. In Tulsa, we got on the plane, we had to take off our shoes. In Kansas City, we got on the plane, we had to take off our shoes. Coming home in Orlando, we didn't have to take off our shoes. Now, what is that about? We need uniformity. The idea that every airport gets to pick their level of terror alert, I don't like. Major airports are major airports. When they attacked New York, some of them got on the plane in Boston, some of them got on the plane in Newark. They're not going to just get on the New York airports. They can get on a plane in Chicago and cause trouble. They can get on a plane in Orlando or Tulsa or Kansas City and cause trouble. Why do we have to take off our shoes in Tulsa and Kansas City and St. Louis, but not Orlando? Orlando is a big, big airport. It is a big, big, big airport. They have lots and lots of flights. Why are those people not taking off their shoes? I don't know what the odds are. I don't know the science behind it. I'm not too big on law enforcement regulations, but it seems stupid, no matter how you slice it. You don't take your shoes off here, and you do take off. The terrorists may subscribe to BarkUp.com. Now that they know in Orlando you don't have to take off your shoes, they'll just get one of those goofy-looking guys and put dynamite or C4 in his shoes, and they'll send him to Orlando because they know they don't take their shoes off there. This is not a good way to run terrorism alerts. This is not a good way to locate the bad guys, to do it willy-nilly. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. We'll do it this time, but not next time, no. We should be screening everything all the time. Do we not want to win? Is there some... Well, yeah, there is some money in it for Bush if things go bad again. We need consistency. We need uniformity. Why are we not getting that? Why is the Oki Tequila Boy the guy that's pointing this out? Don't the experts know that it would be better to check all the shoes, not just the Oakey and the Kansas City shoes? Why are we not checking the Florida shoes? This is crazy. Someone should fix that. We went and got in the line, and the lady in front of us says, we're trying to swing the line around this way. Can you go over here? And I'm going, lady, don't talk to me. If you got a uniform on, I might listen to you. If you got a gun, I'll obey you. But if you're just some lady in the airport, no, don't be telling me what I need to do. I hate that. So took us forever to get our tickets. Then they tell us our flight out is in gate 45. And we said, where's that? And I said, well, actually, it's right next to where we are, but you can't get in there. You have to go down to gate 41 and go through security and then come back. And we're thinking, well, hell, that's a long damn way. I mean, longer than most, you know, you can go to an airport and 41's next to 42 and next to, not in Kansas City. 41 was way down there. We go down there, go through the whole thing. Take off the shoes, take the computer out, do this, do that. It just takes forever. Finally, we get into the secure place and we walk all the way back up to gate 45. And we got an hour before the flight. And guess what? Once you're screened, once you're in there, there's no bathrooms. There might have been a drinking fountain, but there's no bathrooms. There is no snack bar. There is no bar. There is no bookstore. It's just a bunch of nothing. So we're just sitting there with a bunch of nothing. I thought it was bad. Then it got worse. Remember, where are we flying? To Orlando. And what is Orlando famous for? That stupid mouse. You know something else? Sidebar. I was asking Mrs. Bart while we were down there, how did Mickey Mouse get to be a big star? Yeah, in the 60s, they had Disney TV Sunday nights, but Mickey Mouse rarely, if ever, was on it. I remember seeing that. They would have cartoons, but never a Mickey Mouse cartoon. As far as I know, Mickey Mouse has done two movies in my lifetime. Well, actually, it was one movie that they made twice, Fantasia. But, you know, these other people, Harry Potter, he actually makes movies. Lord of the Rings, you know, the X-Men, Superman, Batman, you know, these entities actually produce something. But what does Mickey Mouse produce? He produces a hat that you can buy for $40 for your damn kid to wear. And if you got three kids, there's $120 you'll never see again. And what happens once you put the hat on? Then what? You stand around saying, Mickey Mouse, go Mickey, whoop-de-doo. Why doesn't Mickey Mouse produce something? I mean, I have no kids. Maybe there's Mickey Mouse crap everywhere. I don't know, but I've never seen a Mickey Mouse book. I know there's that Steamboat Willie cartoon from the 1900s that looked highly entertaining. I'm sure today's kids would love to sit through 80 reruns of that. Mickey Mouse doesn't produce anything but heartache for Bart on vacation. We're getting ready to get on the plane to go to Orlando, well, in the next hour. And there's kids everywhere. Kids are everywhere. So I'm trying to read my paper there, and there's this little girl about 4 and her brother who's probably 6. And they are, well, you know how kids are, but oh, I know how kids are. They're just running in circles and shrieking and laughing and running and shrieking and laughing and running and shrieking and laughing. And it's like, you know, my Glock was packed. We took the baby this time. It was already packed and in the plane, and it's a good damn thing. But I thought about the silver lining. If they run and scream like crazy now for an entire hour, maybe they'll go to sleep on the plane. But no such luck. We get on the plane, and the plane is lousy with kids. There are kids everywhere. Can't they put up, you know, they should put all the kids up in the front, don't you think? Or, better yet, way in the back. But for some reason, they spread them out so everybody can be equally tormented. Every fifth seat is a screaming kid. Oh, my God. How do you people with kids stand it? I guess it's like a barking dog that after a couple of days, you can't hear the dog barking, though he's standing right in front of you, screaming his head off. I read half a Star Trek book on the flight down. You know what I hate about the Star Trek books? They always introduce all these characters. Well, on TV, the problem with them is all the people look the same. All the aliens look the same. They're all real tall and skinny, and they got 9 noses. They get this whole bridge of scales that run from their nose up into their forehead. Hey, how is it possible that every planet produces these 10-nose people? It's just not possible. If the 10-nose gene was dominant, then we'd all have 10 noses. But no, somehow Earth, you know, these bipedal carbon-based forms from Earth, you know, they were impregnated by this one set of aliens, and all the other planets were impregnated by the 10-nose aliens. Hate that. Why doesn't Star Trek or Universal, whoever, Paramount, why don't they just take a book out of show business and have pretty aliens and handsome aliens? They always have the aliens made up to look like snakes and lizards and stuff, and it's just ugly to look at, and who wants to look at them? Okay, so that's in the movies. In the books, they give everybody a name like Mr. Mixaplix in the old Superman comic books. This first alien's name is H-J-T-R-L-D-Y, and who the hell knows how to pronounce that? And of course, we got to talk about his kids and his wife, and since they don't have normal names, you can't tell who's a kid, who's a man, who's a woman, who's the boss, who's the employee. It's just one mess, so I just gloss over them, and I ended up, I read about two-thirds of it on the plane down there. I read real fast. Oh, not only that, but they have flashbacks. Quentin Tarantino can work a flashback, but flashbacks don't work so well for me anyway. I have a hard time remembering stuff. That's why I like to read a book about something I already know. Bought a CSI book a couple years ago to go to Vegas with. It was perfect. I know all the CSI characters. I know what their traits are. I know what they do. I know who's the boss. I know who's quick-tempered. It just solves a lot of problems for a guy like me with an IQ of 64. So we land in Orlando, grab the rental car. We don't know anything about the state. I didn't even look before we went. Oh, one thing was kind of interesting. The night before, I went down to AAA and got one of those state books. Gave it to Mrs. Bart, and she's going, oh, my God. It was probably the biggest book we've ever had. A lot of times, you know, when we go west and we ask for a book in Arizona, they give you a book for Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado, Utah, half the west. But when you go to Florida, you get one book, and it's way bigger than any other two books put together. That was our first inkling that there was a lot of stuff to do in Florida. So we land. I figure I can find the ocean. I know where the sun is. I can find that ocean. So we land. We go east on some turnpike to Cocoa. And I think that's where Cocoa Beach is. No, Cocoa Beach is on the other side of the state, you idiot. So we're landing in Cocoa, driving through Cocoa Beach. We see I Dream of Jeannie Street. If you remember, Master lived in Cocoa Beach. So they had to name a street after I Dream of Jeannie. They had this beautiful-looking highway on the map. Because many of you don't know, Florida's East Coast has got, it was like God put it there on purpose. They have a little island that goes from like the middle of the state all the way about 150 miles past Miami. It turns into Key West. But this island is like a mile or two wide. Well, it varies, but it's a mile or two wide, and it's whatever, 100 miles, 150-something miles long. And it gets thinner and, you know, runs out here and there. But basically, it's just like a little strip. You know, it's like, oh, you little people stay on the mainland. Us super rich, we're going to get on the little teeny tiny strip of land just offshore about a mile. Time out for a little sidebar inserted later. I had to record that all at one time just to have some kind of flow. But now I remember some details that must go in. When I talked to my good friend Dean, he's coming up later in the story. A lot of the streets in Florida are named Flagler. And it turns out Flagler, I forget, but he was one of these super rich guys. He was partners to a bunch of crimes back up in New York, and so he made hundreds of millions back then. So he went south, and he found the perfect place to build his mansion near Palm Beach. And a bunch of Negroes, slaves, whatever, early 1900s, all these black people lived on this perfect, most beautiful little island, which became Palm Beach Island, whatever. And they all lived in these little shack shanty kind of lean-to deals. So what this Flagler guy did is he threw some big festival on the mainland. Let's, you know, the big Negro festival. Let's all go to the Negro festival. And so they all left their houses and went to the mainland. And while they were gone, he set the whole island on fire. It was a whole island full of little shanty, lean-to, plywood kind of crap. And while they were sidetracked, while they were distracted on the mainland, he burnt down all their homes. And when they came back afterwards, he said, "You got nothing here. Go on." Then he cleared the land and started building mansions. That's where the vulgar pig boy lives today. Oh, my God. First we did it to the Indians, then we did it to the blacks. You got to watch that white man. You know, this Flagler was a Republican. You know he was. He built the railroad all the way from whatever, Miami to Key West. That kind of got that thing going because there was money to be made, and he couldn't let the Negroes get in his way. Son of a bitch, so he burnt those. You know, here you got a whole bunch of people with absolutely nothing, and then he stole heavily from them, just like Whitey. So we get on that, and we figure we're going to drive south and look at the beach and enjoy all this and that, and it didn't work that way. This is Highway A1A. You can find it on your, go to Yahoo Maps and look up Cocoa Beach FL and check out that little tiny strip of land, Highway A1A. So we get on that, we're heading south. We can't see a damn thing. We don't see anything. What in the world is the point of having a long, scenic shoreline drive if you can't see a damn thing? No, there was buildings, and there was Taco Bell, and there was McDonald's, and there was cheap hotels, and there was expensive hotels, and there was a whole lot of vegetation. You know, hey, Jeb, got an idea for you on tourism, buddy? Why don't you hire a lawnmower, and once a season, and all it would cost you, maybe get them out there in late, well, who knows what the seasons are in Florida, maybe get them out there in March, and cut down the vegetation between the highway and the Atlantic. That would really, really, really make Florida a nicer state for the tourists, because that's what I wanted to do, is hit Florida in the middle on the East Coast and drive down and look at the ocean and the waves, maybe see some ships. You know, the people on the beach are flying kites, and they get those fan parachute deals, and they fly around. There's some parasailing and maybe some balloons. And, you know, we wanted to see a little beach life, but no. We saw lots of vegetation, which was just kind of ugly, too. And it was taller than hell. It was 12, 15 feet tall. It wasn't a tree. It was just like a bunch of bushes that are just there, apparently, to block your view. Wouldn't want the tourists to see the ocean. Nee. You want to see the ocean, you go pay Hilton $350 a night. But that's another story.
Now what would you pay? But wait, there's more. That's right. Stand by for more Bart Cop Poker Fest. South? East? I don't know. Down in Florida. You know,